tonight's edition of Chizuk in the Heights. And this is Rabbi Menachem Penner. I know most of you. I am not in the Heights now, so it's a Chizuk for the Heights, I guess. I am home in the snowstorm. I see a lot of you are in YU, which is wonderful to see. And I want to learn a little bit together and perhaps glean a couple of lessons that will serve as chizuk to all of us this evening. This past week's Parshas Beshalach, is really a roller coaster ride. There's really no other way to describe it other than a roller coaster ride. It starts with all the drama of Ayi Beshalach Paro, Klal Yisrael is coming out. They're a step ahead of the Egyptians, and everything is going so well. And what happens in the parsha is this constant roller coaster, with Klal Yisrael being on top of the world, Klal Yisrael being in danger, Klal Yisrael panicking, Kadosh Baruch Hu helping them. And it's a pattern that if you think about the parsha of Beshalach, it continues again and again throughout the parsha. Of course, Klal Yisrael is ahead, and then of course, Vayirdefu Mitzrayim Achareihem, Vayasigu Osam Chonim Al Hayam, Kol Sus Rechav Paro Farshav V'Chelo Al Pi Achiros Lufnei Ba'al Tzifon. Paro Hikriv. Paro comes in. He and his army are approaching Klal Yisrael. Vayisu V'nei Yisrael Es Einehem V'Hinei Mitzrayim Noseya Achareihem. And they see the Egyptians coming after them. Many of them had thought that they had breathed the last sigh of relief, having left Mitzrayim behind them. Vayiru ma'od, vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And Klal Yisrael cries out, as they should, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomu el Moshe hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. But strangely enough, the next pasuk says that they said to Moshe, are there not enough graves in Egypt? I don't understand. Were they davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Were they complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rishonim struggle with this. Some suggest it was two groups of people. There were tzaddikim who were praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the average person called out to Moshe Rabbeinu and started yelling at him. Others suggest that it started with a moment or two of tefillah, but after all, they panicked. After a couple of moments, they panicked, and they came over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'er Moshe la'am, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, Al tira'u, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu ruas Yeshua Hashem, ashiyasa lachem hayom. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't worry, don't panic. You'll see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. Hashem yilachem lachem, ve'atem tacharishun. But then, interestingly, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yitzo. What is the nature of this tzaka that Moshe Rabbeinu is offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is Moshe Rabbeinu simply pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save the people? Is Moshe Rabbeinu, as he does at different times, complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, what am I supposed to do with this people? After all, they just witnessed 10 makos. They witnessed Makos Bechoros. They witnessed the destruction of the Egyptians, and yet they're panicking again. They're in panic mode again. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry about it. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to the Jewish people and let them walk into the Yam Suf. Ve'ata haremet matacho neteyas yadcha layam uvka'eyu v'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'soch hayam v'yabasha. That's the first panic and recovery of the Parsha. The first panic and recovery of the Parsha, where at Yam Suf, they panic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not seem at all fazed by the fact that the Jewish people panic. But they panic again. Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael miYam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu in Perek Tes Vav moves the Jewish people away from Yam Suf. Vayetzu al Midbar Shur vayelchu shloshet yom b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. It's an incredible pasuk. It's right after Vatan lehem miryam shiru l'Hashem ki ga'oga asus v'ruch v'ramah v'yam. The first pasuk, they got through Yam Suf. They should be able to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should be able to have emunah. He split the Yam Suf for them. They went 3 days v'lo matzu mayim. V'yavo marasa v'lo yochlu lishtos mayim mimara kimarim heim al ken karashmo mar. They go 3 days, they can't find any water. V'yilonu ha'am ha'moshe limor manishte. And they once again, what would you do? I assume that everyone here on the call, wonderful guys from the Heights, I assume that you would daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would understand. I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can split the Yam Suf, if he can defeat the mighty Egyptian army, if he took us out of Egypt, he probably can figure out a way to make this water sweet. But the people complain. Vayitzak el Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu once again screams out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayoreo Eitz, Vayashleich el Hamayim, Vayimtaku Hamayim, Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat Visham Niso. Moshe Rabbeinu calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, I got a fix for that also. No punishment for the people. No concern with the people's request. The people fail. The people come to Moshe Rabbeinu. They kvetch Vayilon. They don't say Tehillim. They don't take upon themselves to learn Daf Yomi. They just complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't seem very fazed. Vayisum Eilim, Vayavo, Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, Midbar Sin, Asher Ben Elim, Vein Sinai, Bechamisha, Asayom, Chodesh Hashem, Vesem Yaz, Vesayim, Vayilonu, Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, Amoshe, Ve'alaram, Vamidbar. Ay, Gevalt. Again? Again in this week's, again in the Parsha? They had a panic attack by Yam Suf. Okay, it was the Egyptians moving in. They had a panic attack by Mara. They had no water. They didn't know what they were going to do. They went for 3 days. They had no water. They get to Midbar Sin. Once again, they start to complain. Why did you take us out of here? We're going to die of hunger. Moshe Kadosh Baruch says to Moshe, who had to be pretty frustrated by this point. People are constantly hitting the poor guy over the head. He just took him out of Egypt. He just freed them. After hundreds of years of slavery, he just freed them. Yomar Hashem al Moshe, okay, hineni mamtir lachem lechem min ha-shamayim v'yotza am v'laktu dvayom v'yamo l'man ha-nasenu he'elech b'sar ha-zimo. I'll give him food. Moshe Rabbeinu has to begin to wonder, if you had this up your sleeve the whole time, why didn't you tell anyone about it? Why do the people have to get to the point that they have to complain and come after me if ultimately I come to you and you say, no, we got a plan for that. We could help them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't seem angry at the people. The people are acting like children, but you don't see anger at them. Now, it is true that Rashi points out that the slav, the meat, was an unnecessary request. There was no reason for them. They didn't need the meat. They needed the food. And therefore, the slav came at an inconvenient time. It wasn't first thing in the morning. They had to go out in the afternoon. So, okay. I mean, for us, meat it means dinner. So the slav coming around evening time is perfect timing. Rashi points out it wasn't so convenient. Kadosh Baruch Hu was a little bit taken aback by their request for meat. But on the whole, you don't see the people being punished. Shamati es telunos b'nei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I have heard the complaints of b'nei Yisrael. Daber aleihem leimor b'nei abayim tochlu vasur b'boker tispu lechem v'idatem kemi Hashem lokechem. I have heard their complaints. I've heard them coming after you. And the answer is yes. The answer is okay. The answer is they can have whatever it is that they're complaining about. And that's the way the parsha continues. Time and time again, there is a challenge. Klal Yisrael seem to panic. They may have, in the first case of Yam Suf, originally turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. But what we see again and again is that they turn and they complain to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not clear whether he becomes ruffled in the text, but we wouldn't blame him if he does. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got no problem with it. We're up to Shvi. Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimidbar sin l'maseyam al pi Hashem v'yachanu b'rfidim v'ein mayim l'shtosam. Again. Vayarev ha'amim Moshe v'yomru tunalonu mayim v'nishteh v'yomru lehem Moshe matri v'uni madim matin asunus Hashem. Now Moshe is starting to become visibly upset. Why are you fighting with me? Why are you constantly testing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And this time Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and says, Ma esela am hazeh od ma'at usakalumi. Yom Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Moshe avor lifnei ha'am. Go in front of the people, they're not going to stone you. As Rashi says, V'kach itcha mizikne Yisrael. And go and hit the rock. But Vayavo Amalek. The parsha ends with Amalek. Amalek comes in the place of Rephidim, and Rashi, of course, tells us that Amalek comes as a punishment for the request for water that was answered just a few psukim before. And the question is, what in the world is this parsha talking about? What is going on here? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep throwing him into situations where they seem like they're going to panic? The people do panic. The people do the wrong thing. They complain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's okay. I'll take care of it. I have a plan for that. Then at the end of the parsha, they do the same thing. There's no water. And this time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the water, but he also gives them Amalek. He gives them Amalek to come after them. Why at the end of the parsha does Amalek come? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael, sends a message to Klal Yisrael at the end of the parsha in Rephidim, but he doesn't send them a parsha, doesn't send them a message earlier in the parsha? I think Rabosai, Parshas B'Shalach, perhaps more than any other parsha, shows the development of an idea, the growth of an idea, the growth of the people, throughout the parsha. We take it for granted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Ein Od Milvado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is there for us at difficult times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's there for us at good times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who makes sure we have a cookie as a snack in the afternoon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. We know that. But why would the people have known that? Why would the people have known that? Yes, they went through the Eser Makos. And the Eser Makos was specifically designed, I'm sure that you've talked about this at a Seder, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery over the land and the sky and the sea and the underground. They were, these 10 Makos showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery over the entire world. So what was there left for them to know? What was there left for them to see? Remember, Klal Yisrael had much to learn when they left Mitzrayim. In the pagan world, in the world of idolatry, in the world of Mitzrayim, gods had their own particular areas of interest, their own particular areas of influence. From the very beginning of time, the idea of good gods and bad gods, gods who punish, gods who save, gods who bring the sun out in the morning, gods who bring the moon out at night, there was a division of responsibilities amongst the gods in the ancient world. The idea that there was one God who was in charge of everything was a foreign concept. Yes, Klal Yisrael had seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu take on the Egyptians, take on the most powerful empire in the world and defeat them. But you know what their conclusion was? That God is a punishing God. God punishes. God can defeat his enemies. It's very different to punish and to save. Rashi specifically tells us that why is Moshe Rabbeinu told to take the mateh? You saw this Rashi last week, I hope. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu specifically told to take the mateh for splitting the sea? Because the people had begun to associate the mateh with punishment. It's not just the mateh they associated with punishment. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had to learn the lesson that you want to be saved, That's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just the God in charge of war, and he's not just the one who's in charge of defeating your enemies. Hashem ish milchama, but Hashem shemo. He's still Yud Kei Vav Kei. That was something they still had to learn. Perhaps you or I, if we were leading the people, we would have been ruffled. How could it be that they don't have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could it be that he took them out of Mitzrayim? He brought along the plagues. How could it be? And maybe they started in the right direction by turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tefillah. But how much can you expect of a people that need to learn a lesson? They need to learn. They need to learn the basics of Emunah to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just the one we turn to when a punishment is due. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who is to be turned to when someone needs to be saved. When we need to be saved, he'll be there for us as well. They get to the other side of Yam Suf, and they don't have water. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu just split the Yam Suf. He split the Yam Suf. Clearly, he has power over water. Clearly, water is something that is in his hands. And yet, they start to complain again when they feel there's no water. They turn to Moshe. They don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do they not understand? Well, again, why would they assume that God is the God of providing water in a crisis? You and I assume it's only one God, so it's going to be the same thing. But they came from a place where everything was controlled by, yeah, so God has power over water, but we're not asking to use water in a destructive way here. We're asking that water be provided. We need a drink of water. Who's going to provide us with a drink of water in this crisis? They went for 3 days. They didn't have anything. You and I say, this is silly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the 10 Makos. Of course he can provide them with water. But was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place? They had to learn. They had to understand. Each step in Parshas Beshalach is another lesson learned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just the one who destroys. He's the one who saves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just the one who's involved in major, major world events like the Egyptians being defeated or the Jews being saved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who takes the Jewish people when they're at a time, stam a time of crisis. This is a crisis. We don't have water. That's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're supposed to turn to. You and I, and perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu, may have been a little bit concerned by the people's tainus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I got a plan for that. Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide it to them right away so that they could stumble and fail and they can then understand? They don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to learn the lesson that you have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to provide it for them in such a simple way. They need to feel that crisis of faith and then realize that the answer is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It then comes to the bread. I don't understand. What is there left for the people to understand? Well, bread is different than water. Water was a crisis. Water was a situation where they hadn't had water in 3 days. It was a crisis. Bread represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing, you'll excuse me, I know another religion has made a thing of this, their daily bread, right? Bread was even simpler. Bread wasn't a crisis at all at the time. There was going to be enough food, but they couldn't fathom how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take care of feeding that many people every single day. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's okay for you to complain. You're not supposed to know that I'm the one that provides that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not getting upset at them. He's letting them go through the process slowly of realizing that every single thing is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then, in Shvi'i, they complain again. What do they complain about? That they don't have water. What's the problem with this taina? They've been there already. They passed that chapter. They already did that unit. They already understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that A, provides for daily needs, and B, provides water. And that's why Amalek comes at the end of the parasha. It's the first time that Klal Yisrael makes a mistake again. That Klal Yisrael fails to learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, it's okay. Life is supposed to be a learning process. In fact, I'm setting up situations where I think you're going to fail. And that's going to be fine. And I'm not going to be upset that you fail. But I want you to learn a lesson from it. What's different about the water at the end of the parasha? Because all those boxes have already been checked off. They've had an opportunity to learn that. They've had an opportunity to learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge of water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one in charge of things that happen on a day-to-day basis. That's why for the first time they're punished at the end of the parasha. And who are they punished by? A people that refuse to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in anything. Specifically to bring in Amalek and to say, this is what you seem like now. I didn't get upset at you the whole parsha. I don't have reason to get upset at you. You have a right to learn and to make mistakes. But try not to make the same mistake again. Show me that you're learning. Show me that you're growing. Show me that as time goes on, you are moving forward and not continuing to stumble in the same ways that you stumbled before. It's fascinating that Parshas Yisro begins with the example, the glaring example of someone who stumbled, failed, and then succeeded. The Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav Simcha Zissel Broida. So he's told over Rabbi. I heard Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb say over. He was actually in Baltimore for treatment. Rabbi Weinreb used to be a shul rabbi in Baltimore. So Rav Simcha Zissel was in Baltimore, and he was a little too weak to give shir, but he was talking to a couple of the rabbanim. He said, "You know what's the most amazing pasuk in the entire Torah? The most amazing pasuk in the entire Torah is Vayishma Yisro Chayin Midyan Chosen Moshe. Vayishma Yisro Chohen Midyan Chosen Moshe." The Kadosh Baruch Hu had no sympathy whatever for Moshe Rabbeinu. Talk about a yichus issue. Vayishma Yisro, who is Yisro? Kohen Midyan. He's a Kohen of Avodah Zarah. And he's also the chosen of Moshe. He's also the father of Moshe. He's the grandfather of Moshe Rabbeinu's kids. You really have to tell us this? You really had to say that? We really had to know that? Poor Moshe Rabbeinu, he's been through enough. You can't hide a little bit. You have to say out loud that his shver was an idol-worshipping priest. But the answer is he was an idol-worshipping priest who used his mistakes, who was searching, as Rashi says, he searched all the different religions of the world. He searched and he learned from his mistakes. And since he learned from his mistakes, Kohen Midyan went from being a slur, went from being an insult, to being a tremendous, tremendous compliment. Now, you're not supposed to assume that everyone's ready for that compliment. You're not supposed to assume if someone is Megayer that they're ready to be told, that to announce that they're a Ger. You're not supposed to, with someone who's a Baal Tshuva, you're not supposed to assume that they're ready for such a compliment to remind everybody. But you and I know that it's the greatest compliment. The greatest compliment is to be a Ger. The greatest compliment is to be a Baal Tshuva. To say that I had one thing and I learned and I changed. Yisro was at the level. Moshe was at the level where Kohen Midyan was a compliment. Kohen Midyan wasn't in any way Chas V'Shalom an insult at that point. You know, in the world, in the real world, it's okay to fail. In college, it's not so okay to fail. In the real world, there's really no one out there who's successful who hasn't failed a number of times. In fact, in the world today of business, in the world today of startups, it's very chashuv to fail. It's like a chashuv a thing to try something and fail. The question is, how do you respond to that failure? Right? There's a book out recently called Black Box Thinking. Black Box Thinking about within the business world, about people who are willing to analyze their mistakes and to learn from it and people who are not willing. The question of success is not so much a question of who goes in a linear fashion forward, but who, when they make a mistake, can look back on it and learn from it. Klal Yisrael's mistake in Parshas Bishalach wasn't that they made a mistake. It was that they didn't analyze that mistake. They didn't look at that mistake. They didn't learn the lessons of that mistake. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset about. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Amalek at the end of the parsha. We spend a lot of time worrying about failures, about mistakes that we make in college. We fail on a test. We fail in a relationship. We fail in a friendship. Doesn't work out. As we get older, we begin to realize that failure is not only a part of life, but failure is a part of success, if we can take it and learn from it. I always say, I am very, very happy to fail once in each way. I am very happy to do something dumb, to mess up big time once. It's after that first time that we have to pull ourselves together and figure out how it should never happen again. Rabbi Hertzfeld, I don't know if any of you are from Long Island, there was a very famous Menahel, Rabbi Chaim Hertzberg, I think his name was, in South Shore. So he used to tell his Rabbeim, it was a great line, that all Rabbeim make mistakes. Good Rabbeim make new mistakes every day. The question is not to stop making mistakes. It's not to make the same mistake that you made yesterday. Not to make the same mistake twice. There are so many mistakes that we can make that you can continue to make mistakes your whole life. The goal shouldn't be not to make those mistakes. It shouldn't be to worry about when we make mistakes. It should be to learn from those mistakes. In fact, it says, Sheva nofelt yipol tzadik v'kam. The fact is, even if it's more than one time, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, bless the memory, explained that what does it mean, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam? That the reality is that most of us don't learn from our first mistake. First time we do something and we get it wrong, we chalk it up to, this happened. For most of us, we actually have to fall about seven times till we strike ourselves in the face and say, you got a problem. You got to fix something. That's something you got to do better next time. Again, I try to make a mistake once. Yeah, that's a mistake. Usually it doesn't work that way either. But the lesson of getting through life and getting through college and getting through all the struggles, you have so many new experiences. I'm so jealous of you. You have so many new experiences. You're not going to get them all right. Make it your goal to learn from your failures. Make it your goal to try not to make the same mistake again. Don't beat yourself up over the fact that you make a mistake. You may be giving yourself hell because you did something wrong. But learn from this week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that the Jewish people make mistakes, and we make mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that the people need to grow up, and that we also need to grow up. The people need to learn lessons in Emunah, and we also need to learn lessons in Emunah. Let's just try to correct our mistakes when they happen. Have a good night. Much hatzlacha.